Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Ranked by Comedy Central as one of the top 100 stand-ups of all time, actor and comedian Sinbad will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow night, Thursday at 8 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Sinbad to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, my pleasure.
It's great to have you here. Do you still enjoy this, going from town to town and being on the road? Is that still an enjoyable act?
Yeah, I think that has always been fun. It always will be fun. Only thing that changed everything was when after 9/11, getting through airports, that became tedious.
And it just makes travel a lot longer and a lot harder.
Man, it's something about taking your shoes off, man. Something as simple as that.
The belt, the shoes, it can be annoying.
Yes, I never wear a belt. So I'm lucky. I don't ever wear a belt. I always have sweatpants or something, so I don't have to take all that off.
That's good. And you're a big guy, right? I mean, I am too. But do you fly comfortably?
You know, I do. The only luxury in life I try to have is go first class.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while you got to save the money and just go coach. Or sometimes you're on a little small plane. But, man, when you're in coach seats, if you get to that 5-6 hour flight, man, that's rough. That's rough.
Because you can't move.
You're just locked in. It's sort of like that movie Gravity. You're just locked in.
The career goal for you was it always comedy? Was it always some way of entertaining people?
It was always some way of entertaining. From the time I was little, I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought I was going to be Jacques Cousteau, Mario Andretti. I just had a crazy imagination as a kid growing up. But then, for me, it was music. When I was in high school, I played basketball and I played music, so I thought I would play pro ball or do music or do both and act. I figured, remember, there was no TV, there was no HBO. I didn't know how you got from the Midwest to Hollywood. I had no clue how that worked.
And so there was no clear path, and there really wasn't anybody to sort of look at and say, oh, maybe I want their career.
Path was nuts. You just, you know, I think sometimes it puts your imagination into a high gear. So you dream so big, you dream so stupidly big. I think the path was fun. Now, kids, I remember this. Everybody wants to be on American Idol. Everybody wants to be on The Voice. Everybody wants to be on these one of these shows. If you notice what they say, I've always wanted to sing, but I never got a chance to. What do you mean you never got a chance to? There's clubs everywhere. I think people now is like, they want to be stars. They don't want to do the intermediate. Nobody wants to be intermediate. Nobody wants to sing in the little clubs. Nobody wants to, like, drive in a car to a club. They just want to be a star.
So when we first saw you, when you were on television, when you were in movies and going against, you know, in big films, where you would, in many cases, steal the show, was that always the first thing you wanted to do, or was it still that driving from town to town and working the clubs and being
well,
on stage?
For me, comedy opened the door for everything. And what makes you special, what makes me special was comedy. But always, acting is right close second. I love making movies. I love becoming different characters. I mean, that's fun, and that's also pushes you in a different way to be other things. But comedy will always be the thing that this is mine. This is what I do better than somebody else.
And when do you think you found your voice? The of what we know now, of someone who is you're observational, it's a clean act, you come out and you talk about things that are of that common element.
I think from day one, because I didn't know how to do so-called, I said, well, how do you... I always was telling stories. I always was like making up stuff and looking at life. And also, I had a lot of jobs grow up. I did a lot of crazy stuff. I had a lot of experiences. So for me, I think it was more natural to go this way because that's kind of how I lived. So I didn't know the other way. It's just joke line, you know.
Yeah.
I tried it once. I mean, it worked on stage, but it wasn't fun.
You talked about coming from the Midwest, but you grew up in Michigan, and so the path for you when you look back at it now was what? Because you were in the service for a while, and then you come out and you start that path.
Yeah, it was more like got thrown out. but
all right, I'll let you say that. Yes, sure.
I thank the military because it was the military talent show that got me started. It was called Tops and Blues Air Force, and it was a show that traveled around the world and entertained the troops. Matter of fact, they've done halftime of Super Bowls. They're still one of the biggest military organizations. It was the Hollywood of the Air Force. And I was like, that's when I had my epiphany. When I saw them and I went to the theater to watch them, I said, oh, that's what I want to do. I mean, I walked out consumed that this is going to be that. I'm doing this. Probably got overconsumed. That's why I got kicked out.
And, well, you say kicked out. You were honorably discharged in the end, right? But it was close.
That's still kicked out. Okay, let's put this, I retired early. I had been all I could be early.
Yeah, they were done with you.
Yes.
So then, and then you decide there's a conscious decision of there's a persona, and you become Sinbad. And you that name comes from where?
Oh, that came from when I was in college. I had that name from just, I used to stay in the lobby and watch these Sinbad movies all the time. Back in the day, like Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, Sinbad's Last Voyage. And it also was a name that at that time I was going through some changes in college, about trying to find out who I was. And I said, I have to be somebody else other than who I am, because I just wanted to transform what I was. And what I liked about watching Sinbad character movies is he was a leader man. He wasn't always the biggest. He was the one that they trusted, and they always wanted to be with him. And he was an adventurer, and he didn't care about being a pirate. He loved that life. I said, but he was still wasn't an evil cat. You know what I'm saying? You know, back in the movies, had guys who were bad guys, but they weren't bad. Right. They were the bad good guys.
Right.
And that's what I liked about him. He was a bad good guy.
And real quick, because you had mentioned this about these shows of being stars, but you went on Star Search very early, and that really put you on a map.
Yeah, but you know what I like about Star Search? It was different than American Idol and stuff. Everyone you saw on Star Search, singers, especially comedians and singers, we were already doing what we were doing. You just need that one more kick. It was that one more kick. Every singer was already singing. Every comic was already, because every time you won, and when you got the winning, you went right back on the road doing stand-up. Whereas American Idol, they put them in a mansion, they put them in a house, and they talk about how tired they are of my fans. Yo, fans, you've been here a week.
Yeah, you know, that bothers me, too. I hear them
my fans. I don't care what the judges think. My fans, man, shut up. They like you because you got a ponytail that's dyed blue.
And you're absolutely right, because you were up against like the likes of Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller was a part of that.
Yeah, it was Dennis Miller. You had Brad Garrett. You had Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
God, there was so many cats that were doing it.
And these are the same people that you're rotating at different clubs, and you're all on the same circuit.
Yeah, you're already. Thing was, you know, for us, it was like, hey, if you won, you got $1,000.
Right, and you get enough gas money to go to the next club.
Thank you, man.
Right, and then you come into to a point where you're on television. You have a different world, and it which is a spinoff of the Cosby Show, which has to be a great endorsement just in that, I would think, right?
Oh yeah, that was what I got to Hollywood. First thing I did, I played Red Fox's son on the new Red Fox Show series. And then I did a show with, it was called, Club Med.
Yeah.
And I worked with Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine at that time. And I was just having fun. And then these guys said, hey, look, man, I heard about this pilot for the spinoff of the Cosby Show. And I said, look, I'm a warm up the studio audience. They were looking for comics to warm up the studio audience. I said, I'm going to warm up the studio audience, and I'm going to get on this show. See, warming up the studio audience was secondary. It was getting on this show.
Right.
And I lied, and they caught me in a lie when I tried to get the job to warm up. But the guy who was producing the time was named George Crosby. He's about a guy about 6'8". And he said, look, man, you lied so good. He said, I hope you're as funny as you lie. I hope your comedy ability is as big as your lying ability.
And at what point do you meet Bill Cosby?
Oh, it's right there, right before the show taped. he came up to talk, and he came around the corner, and I couldn't speak, man. I couldn't speak.
Yeah.
I looked stupid.
And you're one of the guys, he's very critical of comedians who come out and are dirty, who will take an act and you know, a lot of negative language and so forth. And he'll always use you as a positive example.
But my thing is this. It's not so much guys with dirty language. Look, he was friends with Richard Pryor. I mean, they were some,
right.
They were big heroes to me, too. It's just that I was dirty when I started. But the problem was we were all bad copies of Richard Pryor.
Right.
And we hadn't earned it. Look, man, you look at George Carlin. You look at Lenny Bruce. You look at Richard Pryor. You look at Red Fox. They paid a price for being dirty.
Absolutely.
I mean, they believed in what they were doing, and they lost jobs because of that. And yet, because they stood with it, because they stuck with it, and they believed in it, they actually got bigger careers because they didn't waver. And I think it was a time in America when America needed to be shook up. Well, now, man, you get rewarded, man. Look, you're not even funny. My thing is, if you're going to be dirty, at least be funny. Oh, God. I mean, you sound like my grandmother.
So, and I would think it would be more personally rewarding. I mean, you're going to be playing Troy. So you're on the stage of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and the laughs are pure, the laughs are genuine. You're not, you can just be you. And when you is good enough, that seems to me like it would be more rewarding.
But me, I could go either way. I said, I told guys who are dirty, I could be dirtier than you. I said, I could be cleaner than you. The thing is, a joke is a joke, a well-written joke.
Yeah.
Works either way, because people forget back in the day when we were just coming up, you had to be able to do a 4-minute clean set to get on Johnny Carson. So if you couldn't do that, you couldn't even get discovered to work.
Did you make it to Carson?
But you know what? It's funny. I won't say his name. The man that was a talent scout for Carson, for some reason, hated me. And I was just crazy off the wall. I mean, I was wearing that blonde hair. And when he came to see me at the improv, and he said, okay, the guy's here from Johnny. And man, I had a set. He had these two or three young ladies with him. No, he was a heavy drinker. And he had these three women with him, and I killed. And afterwards, I fouled him out because he didn't say nothing to me. And I remember, I think it was Kevin Nealon said, man, don't say nothing to him. I said, dude, what'd you think? He said, you know, you'll never do Carson. Or for some reason, I said to him, well, if your daughters hadn't been with you, you might have seen me. Then he looked at me and said, don't worry about it. The way you drink, you won't be living long, so the next guy will put me on.
Yeah.
And every comic said, what did you just do? I said, I couldn't help it, man. I couldn't let him just walk out like I was nobody.
What show did you end up
in? And what happened? Know what changed the world? Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall started putting people on that Carson and Letterman didn't. And the world changed. Rappers, black comics, different kind of music. The world changed. It changed. I mean, I don't think people realize when they see Arsenio Hall now, this world that he's competing against exists because of him.
Well, and also you could make the argument that he's doing what he did then. I mean, he's still putting on people that nobody else will have on.
Yeah, you know, and I think he could even... I think there's another niche he could even push it further. Because think about it now. You got Jimmy Fallon became cool.
Right.
Because of the Roots.
Absolutely.
Remember, the Roots gave him instant credibility. Instant credibility. That's why Justin Timberlake and everybody hangs out. But I think there's a group of there's entertainers and musicians who still can't get on. There's people who are not being looked at right now. And I think Arsenio Hall can actually, you know, fill that niche.
Well, you're going to be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow night. It's Thursday night at 8 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to troymusichall.org or go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Sinbad, it's great to talk to you. I've been a big fan for a long time, and it's very nice to spend time with you, and it'll be great to have you in the region.
Cool, man. Hey, is the snow still on the ground?
No, you're clear.
I'm good. Cool.
Excellent. Travel safe. Thanks very much.
Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye-bye. Again, Sinbad will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall Thursday night, 8 o'clock. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.